And now this morning in the book of Acts, commonly called the fifth gospel, a continuation by the Holy Spirit of the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Acts chapter 5. Now I never hear the song that the choir just did such a wonderful job on, but what I think about the late Dr. Mordecai F. Ham. How many of you ever heard Dr. Ham preach? Well, some of you as old as I am, you heard him. Dr. Ham was the old Kentucky revivalist for more than 50 years up and down the country. At one time, he pastored the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma City. And literally, the underworld interest of Oklahoma City dragged him through the streets and would have tarred and feathered him, but for the grace of God. He was no ordinary preacher. Dr. Ham always preached on two themes. I never heard him, and I heard him all of my growing up days. That's the reason I'm such a good preacher. I used to listen to Dr. Ham preach. But I heard him all of my growing up days, and I never heard him preach. But what he didn't preach about, the rise of Russia and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've got to watch Russia. And we best be looking to the skies to watch for Jesus. It may be at morn when the day is awaking. It may be at noon. It may be at midnight. It may be before this service comes to a close. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long? How long it will shout the glad song? Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's a good way to get started, I suppose. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read beginning at verse 34. My message today is entitled, If It Be of God. Acts chapter 5. We shall read after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for redeeming grace. We thank Thee for the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. And now in these moments, as Thy Word shall be preached, may Thy Word be preached with the power of the Holy Spirit. May men and women and boys and girls not see this preacher, but may Christ be so exalted that men might see Him. May they not hear this voice, but may they hear clearly and distinctly the voice of the Holy Spirit thundering forth the riches of Thy grace and the endurance of Thy gospel and the blessed hope that we embrace within our hearts of being victorious not only today but all the days of our lives and in the days to come. Now, Father, blight every sin, block every hindrance, blot out every transgression. Anoint us with Thy Spirit until we shall be under the sway of the Holy Spirit and without any power or ferment of our own, but altogether of Him. In His name we ask it and for His sake. Amen. Acts chapter 5 and verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, if you will look again at verse 39, you'll find nestled in that verse the words of my text, the topic of my message, if it be of God. The early Christians tackle the world, the flesh, and the devil in a head-on collision. The result was that they got into trouble, but they always came out victorious because the Holy Spirit was running interference. Now, in the setting here in the fifth chapter, the spokesman of this little band of apostles, Peter, had just preached a sermon. And a mighty sermon it was. And in his sermon he made mention of, among other things, the Blessed Trinity. He mentioned not only the Trinity, but he also preached about the crucifixion of Christ. And he preached about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And he preached about repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, when Peter had finished his message, the members of the religious council of his day were stirred up. In fact, verse 32 says they were cut to the heart. The literal meaning of that, they were sawn to pieces or sawed to pieces. In a figurative sense, but the literal translation of cut to the heart. And they took counsel to put the apostles to death. The official ruling of the Sanhedrin, the religious tribunal, the Supreme Court of the Jews, was to put to death Peter and his fellow apostles. But there stood one in their midst named Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a great doctor of the law and a great teacher. He was a Pharisee. He taught, among others, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. Gamaliel stood up in their midst and said, "Be careful what you do to these men." And then he cited two examples of men who had risen earlier and who had gathered a following about them, but who had been destroyed and dispersed across the land of Israel. So Gamaliel said, if this work, this gospel, this great movement that was called the Way, you remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, he had the authority to bind any of those whom he found in the way. That was a common designation for the following of Christ or the early stages of Christianity. They were not called Christians until Antioch in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. So this newfound way, Gamaliel said, if it be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, he cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to be fighting against God himself. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Pharaoh could not overthrow it. Tiglath-Pileser could not overthrow it. Nebuchadnezzar could not overthrow it. All of the Caesars of Rome had failed in their attempt to overthrow it. Herod the Great could not overthrow it. The devil could not overthrow it. All the works of men could not overthrow it. Prosperity could not overthrow it. Poverty could not overthrow it. The demons in hell could not overthrow it. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Now, in all of the economy of the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, God is at work bringing about, according to his own time schedule, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. When the Old Testament period closed about 400 BC, there was a period of relative silence. In fact, those years between the closing of the Old Testament and the opening of the New Testament are called the silent centuries. The intertestament period. No prophet. No revelation. Until the opening of the New Testament era. And God in the New Testament brought to pass what he had prophesied in the Old. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Who could deny that the ministry of John the Baptist or the baptizer was of God? I read in the gospel according to John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I've said it before. I think it bears repeating. Men are sent from God to preach the gospel of redeeming grace. Now I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that God still calls men into the ministry. Away with mama-spawned and papa-sent preachers. The world's full of them today. What we need in this hour is some men whose lives have been transformed by the grace of God. and upon whose shoulders the mantle of Elijah has fallen. Who can deny that John the Baptist and his ministry was sent from God? He was an unusual man. He came out of the wilderness with an unusual attire. His clothing was of camel's hair. His diet was of locust and wild honey. And he came out of the deserts preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message of John the Baptist. And beloved, today in the midst of the 20th century, we need some preaching on repentance. John the Baptist gathered about him men from all over Judea and throughout the regions around Jerusalem. And to them he preached the power of God and turning men out of their sin toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Who could deny that the ministry of John the Baptist was of God? Somebody said, well, do you think John was really of God? He got his head cut off, didn't he? Yes, but I suppose it's just as well to go with your head cut off as any other way. A shortcut to glory. After all, John was looking forward to that hour. It was his coronation day. Can anyone deny that this rugged man in the spirit of Elijah was sent from God? If it be of God, you cannot overthrow him. You might cut the tree down, but you can't kill the root. You might cut off the Baptist head, but you don't destroy his work, because he was on the scene to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. If it be of God, you cannot destroy it. You cannot overthrow it. Who can deny that the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was of God? I believe that over 1900 years ago, God broke into human history in the form of a man who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless, spotless life, who died upon the cross a sacrificial death, who was raised from the grave victorious, who ascended back to the right hand of the Father, who sits there now in resplendent glory to make intercession for his own, and one day is coming back again. God broke into history in the person of Jesus Christ. Who can deny that his ministry was of God? For no man was born like Jesus. No man lived like Jesus. No man died like Jesus. No man was resurrected like Jesus. No man has the power and the authority like Jesus has. They said of him in the book of Acts, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who can deny that Jesus Christ was the Son of God come in the flesh? John, the beloved apostle, said, whosoever denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the flesh is Antichrist. Who can deny it when they see him open the eyes of the blind? When they see him causing the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and the dead to live again? Who can deny that this was the Son of God and that this program of redemption was of God when from the cross he cried, "It is finished"? Who can deny that this great program of your redemption and mine is of God when Jesus Christ was raised victorious and triumphant over the devil, over the grave, and over hell? If it be of God, you cannot overcome it. You cannot overthrow it. You cannot destroy it. Who can deny that the church at Jerusalem was of God? The church that began only as a meager handful. Look at them on the night of the crucifixion. And on the following day, they are cowed down in fear of their lives behind locked doors in the upper room. But on the morning of the third day, something happened. Something happened that changed the course of all of Christianity. For Christ was raised from the dead, and that evening he came through the door and stood in their midst. And after that, they were never the same. No more hiding behind doors. No more cowed down in fear and frustration and anxiety. But new men who went forth conquering and to conquer, to turn a world upside down for Christ. Who can deny that that church that began with 12 and grew to 50 or 60,000 in the New Testament era, who can deny that that church was of God? When on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached to 120, and men from all over those parts of the world were there and heard him in their own language and in their own tongue. Who can deny that this is of God? Who can deny when 3,000 souls were swept into the kingdom that the church of Jerusalem, who can deny that it was of God? If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. You know why you and I are here today? You know why there are churches dotting the whole free world today? Because it was of God. The church at Jerusalem and the work and ministry of Christ, these were of God, and men cannot overcome them. You and I today are just as vital a part as those men were who were gathered in the upper room the day the Holy Spirit came. For we are in the great body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, who can deny that the work of this church is of God? When I look out and see the faces of men and women and young people who have come to know Jesus Christ at this altar, whose lives have been transformed by the grace of God, and who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism in these waters, who then can deny that the work and ministry of this church is of God? When I realize its meager beginning in a store building that was rented, and then I see this beautiful edifice and this magnificent Sunday school plant, I ask you, can you deny that this work is of God? I believe that these instruments are of God. I believe that this desk is of God. I believe that this choir is of God. I believe that this congregation is of God. I believe that every time somebody passes this church and the spire out there on the roof points toward heaven, that men must confess that this is of God. And if it be of God, it cannot be overthrown. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be driven out. It cannot be extinguished, for this is a part of something that shall live forever. I believe, as much as I believe that I'm standing here, that in a few days when we go down and start knocking out some walls and putting up some more, it's of God. I believe to enlarge our facilities to accommodate more children and young people and ultimately adults, it is of God. And I believe that you believe the same thing or you would not be a part of it today. And I believe that under the guiding counsel of our finance committee and our deacons, that the setting forth of an enlargement fund from today to September the 13th, I believe it is of God to finance this program. Now, that sort of reminds me of the old colored preacher when he was up a preaching. Now, he said, this church can take two courses. It can either walk or it can run. But I'm going to tell you now, if it runs, it's going to cost us. And somebody was heard to say, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. If this church, if this body of believers, if we are going to run to glory and take other souls with us, it's going to cost us. And I don't care about a freeloading religion. If it doesn't cost us something, it's not worth having. It'll cost us. But I believe it's of God. And if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Who can deny that this service this morning that we are now engaged in is of God? When I heard that choir singing about the second coming of Christ, when I heard the instruments playing, when I saw the look of anticipation upon your faces, I know it's of God. When men will come and bring their families and bring their money and invest in this cause, I know it's of God. When men will take their families to a foreign mission field and pioneer the way among tribes who have never received the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, I know it's of God. And if it be of God, it cannot be overcome. It cannot be overthrown. It cannot be overpowered. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. If it be of God, there will something of eternal value come out of it. If it be of God, the world will feel the impact of it. If it be of God, it cannot be destroyed. This total program of the ministry of this church, of your cooperation, your help, your investment, your time, your belonging, your labor, your working together, and our pulling together, this is of God. And if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. I challenge you this morning. If Jesus be of God, accept him. If the Bible be of God, believe it. If the church be of God, support it. If soul winning be of God, practice it. If missions be of God, send the missionaries. If the Christian way be of God, if Christianity be of God, then live it. For if it be of God, it cannot be overthrown. If the leading that you feel in your heart this morning to trust Christ is of God, follow that leading. If the leading that pulls you to an altar of dedication is of God, follow that leading. If the leading that you feel in your heart is to unite with the fellowship of this church. Follow that leading. For if it be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for this church and for its testimony, for this service, for this message of the gospel. Help us to see this morning that if this great work in which we are engaged is of Thee, that all the demons in hell cannot overthrow it. And we believe that it is. And we would ask this morning that the Holy Spirit might lead men to Christ, might lead men to an altar of prayer, might lead men into the fellowship of this body of believers. For we know, dear God, that the Word, the Bible, is of Thee, the church is of Thee, that Christ is of Thee, the preaching is of Thee, and this business in which we're engaged of winning men for eternity is of Thee, and we know it cannot be overthrown. Now, Father, speak to these hearts, and bring us all to that place of absolute surrender. And may we all proclaim together, it is of a truth, it is of God. In Jesus' name we pray. While our heads are bowed, in a moment the choir will offer a stanza or two of invitation appeal. Is God speaking to your heart? If that feeling that you have in your soul there is of man, is of self, is of the flesh, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you best follow it, because it can't be destroyed, it can't be overthrown, it can't be outdated, it can't be outmoded. Follow that leadership if it be of God in your heart. To come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To come this morning to an altar of prayer and pray that revival will be in your own heart. To come this morning to unite with the fellowship of this church. While the choir sings the first stanza, while you remain with your heads bowed in prayer, who will be first to come? If it be of God, I want you to come. If it be of God, it's real, it's everlasting, it's eternal. Come right now while the choir offers this song and give God a chance in your life. Would you do it today?